Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we are going to completely rethink how we secure the absolute most powerful entities operating inside our modern workplaces.
Right. AI agents.
Exactly. AI agents. Because for you listening, whether you manage a massive enterprise network or, you know, you're just trying to automate your own daily workflows, understanding the architecture of AI security, it's really no longer optional.
No, not at all. It's mandatory at this point.
Yeah. And to guide us today, we are unpacking this truly fascinating article. It was published on March 4th, 2026, and it's called Controlled Access for AI.
Yeah, by James Aspinwall.
Right. But there is this brilliant detail right in the byline. The author, James Aspinwall, he actually co-wrote this piece with his own trusted AI.
Yeah, whom he calls Alfred Pennyworth.
Yes, Alfred Pennyworth.
Which, honestly, it sets the perfect tone for this whole discussion.
It really does.
Because we're looking at a human and an AI collaborating on, you know, the extremely complex problem of how to safely manage the boundaries of AI itself.
Exactly. He's not anti-AI.
Right. Aspinwall isn't taking an anti-technology stance here. He is actively using these tools. But he recognizes that to use autonomous agents safely at any real scale, we have to fundamentally, like, tear down and rebuild our entire architecture of trust.
Yeah.
So our mission today is to uncover why the current standard for granting AI access to systems is fundamentally broken.
It's so broken.
It is. And we need to look at how shifting from old school, you know, master keys to highly restricted virtual key cards is really the only viable path forward.
Okay, let's unpack this opening analogy from the source text because I think it sets up the problem beautifully.
Yeah, the hotel metaphor.
Right. So I want you listening to imagine a massive, sprawling hotel. We are talking about around-the-clock, 24/7 operation here.
Right. Guests checking in at midnight because of delayed flights.
Exactly. Housekeeping crews are starting long before dawn. Kitchen staff are, you know, firing up industrial ovens while the rest of the city is fast asleep.
The building is just in constant motion.
Constant motion. It requires this continuous, incredibly complex exchange of goods and services and access.
Yeah, it's a highly dynamic ecosystem. You have this constant flow of different people who all need to be in very specific places at exact times to, you know, execute very specific functions.
Right. Now, imagine that same sprawling hotel has exactly one entrance.
Oh boy.
Just one physical door for the entire building. Every single guest, the executive chef, the maintenance team, they all have to walk through that exact same front door.
Right.
And sitting at that desk is one single receptionist.
Just one.
Just one. That one person acts as the entire security system, deciding who gets in and who doesn't.
And, I mean, it sounds totally absurd when we frame it physically like that.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
But that single receptionist model is the actual reality of how major agentic platforms are operating right now.
Wait, really?
Yeah. The text specifically highlights OpenClaw as a prime example of this flaw.
Oh, OpenClaw, yeah.
Right. OpenClaw is a highly capable agent framework. The autonomous actions it can string together are incredible.
Yeah, it's powerful.
But its underlying access model is that single entrance hotel. You authenticate the AI at the system's front door via an API gateway.
Okay.
And your initial security protocol essentially says, authentication verified, come on in.
Right.
But once that agent is inside the network environment, there are virtually zero internal locks.
Wow. So it's like having a heavily armored front door at a massive financial institution or a bank.
Exactly.
You know, you have armed guards, biometric scanners, the works. But once you actually walk past the greeter in the lobby, every single vault, every manager's office, every safe deposit box is just sitting wide open.
That is the exact vulnerability. An AI agent is granted access to the network to perform like a mundane task.
Okay, like what?
Let's say you ask it to summarize a PDF of a vendor contract.
Simple enough.
Right. But because the system lacks internal boundaries, that agent technically operates with broad, unrestricted lateral movement. Yeah. So if that agent encounters a malicious prompt injected into that PDF contract.
Like a prompt injection attack.
Exactly. A prompt instructing it to quietly search the internal servers for files labeled passwords and email them to an external address. Can you do it?
Just like that.
Just like that. Not because it hacked the system, but because the system never put a lock on the HR or IT doors once the agent passed the lobby.
That is a terrifying scenario. I mean, the agent didn't break the rules. The rules were just incredibly poorly designed.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I guess brings us to how traditional corporate infrastructure tries to build those internal walls. And here's where I want to push back on this a little bit on behalf of you listening.
Okay, let's hear it.
Because if you work in any modern tech environment, you are already familiar with RBAC role-based access control.
Right, RBAC.
Yeah. You get hired, IT assigns you a role in the identity provider, like, you know, marketing associate or senior systems engineer, and you get access based on that role. So wait, aren't roles exactly how every corporate IT department on Earth handles security? Yeah. You get a role, you get your access. Why fix what isn't broken? Why can't we just give AI agents their own distinct roles?
Well, what's fascinating here is that Aspinwall points out that role-based access control is actually already breaking down.
It is.
Yeah, it's breaking down under the weight of human complexity, let alone AI speed.
Oh, interesting.
Think of traditional IAM identity and access management roles as physical master keys.
Okay.
They are organized broadly by department. You issue a master key to the cleaning crew. You issue another master key to the banquet staff.
And on paper, that sounds perfectly logical.
Right, until you meet reality. Because roles are inherently rigid, but actual workflows are highly nuanced.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Let's map the text's hotel example directly to a digital environment.
Okay.
You have a senior cleaning crew member who also trains new hires.
Right.
So they need their standard cleaning master key, but they also occasionally need access to the HR training module to log progress.
Oh, I see.
The generic cleaning crew role doesn't cover that. So IT creates a custom sub-role, cleaning crew-trainer.
And then, like, the next week, a front desk worker needs temporary access to a specific billing dashboard to resolve a guest dispute, so IT creates another subrole.
Exactly.
And then a manager needs cross-departmental access for a two-week sprint.
And you end up with IAM role bloat.
Role bloat!
You are creating subroles, exceptions to exceptions, and these massive inheritance chains. You have roles inheriting permissions from three other distinct roles just to execute one task.
That sounds like a mess.
It becomes impossible to audit. If a user maliciously accesses a financial database, figuring out which of the 50 nested overlapping roles actually granted that permission is a forensic nightmare.
Wow. And if it is a nightmare to untangle for human employees who are moving at human speeds,
right,
applying that broken framework to an AI agent operating in milliseconds is just begging for a massive data breach.
Right.
Because if an AI inherits a bloated master role, it might be pinging sensitive databases that nobody even realizes are still attached to that legacy role.
Which is exactly why the single receptionist model and the master key role model both have to be completely abandoned for autonomous systems. The architecture simply cannot support the use case.
Okay. Well, here's where it gets really interesting.
Yeah.
Aspinwall and Pennyworth introduce a completely different architectural paradigm called the orchestrator.
The orchestrator.
Right. Instead of relying on a gatekeeper or handing out bloated master roles, the orchestrator issues something highly specific, which they call a virtual key card.
Yes, and the shift from a master key to an ephemeral virtual key card fundamentally changes the security posture.
How so?
Well, in the orchestrator model, access isn't defined by what department you belong to. It is defined by the exact parameters of the current task.
Okay.
So a guest gets a key card programmed exclusively for room 412, the gym, and the pool. If they try to swipe it on the kitchen door, it flashes red.
All right, it just denies access. And a major operational shift the text highlights is who actually programs those key cards.
This is a big one.
Yeah, it's not some centralized IT admin sitting in a server room trying to guess what every single department needs.
Right, and that is a critical bottleneck eliminated. Virtual key cards are configured by domain administrators.
Domain administrators.
Yeah. Central IT shouldn't be responsible for defining the exact database permissions a sales agent needs to pull a quarterly forecast.
No, that makes no sense.
The sales manager, the domain owner, configures those specific permissions because they actually understand the real-world workflow. The engineering lead issues the key cards for deployment tools, HR manages employee records, and so on.
Pushing the access control closer to the actual data owners makes infinite sense.
It really does.
But I have to push back here on the mechanics of the orchestrator itself.
Okay, sure.
Because if this system in issuing these bespoke virtual key cards for every single micro action and validating every single door an AI tries to open, doesn't that create a massive latency nightmare? Like, if an AI has to ping a central orchestrator for permission every time it queries a database, you've just built a giant bottleneck.
That is the classic trade-off, right, between security and performance. But modern tokenized architecture solves this.
Okay.
The orchestrator isn't necessarily a single monolithic server validating every request in real time. It issues short-lived, cryptographically signed tokens.
Like JWTs.
Exactly, like JSON Web Tokens.
Yeah.
These tokens contain the exact granular permissions the scopes baked right into them.
Oh, I see.
So when the AI agent approaches a database, the database itself can instantly verify the token signature locally. It doesn't need to call back to the central orchestrator for every micro action.
Oh, wow. So that virtually eliminates that latency bottleneck while maintaining strict borders.
Precisely.
That is a brilliant mechanism. The key card carries its own cryptographic proof.
It does.
Which leads us directly into how Aspinwall breaks down the four core pillars of why this key card system demolishes the old role-based approach.
Yeah, let's go through them.
We've kind of touched on the first one. Automatic activation and expiration.
Right. Phantom access is one of the biggest vulnerabilities in corporate networks.
Oh, definitely.
We all know the scenario where a contractor finishes a project, but 6 months later, their credentials still work because someone forgot to manually deprovision their role.
Happens all the time.
Yeah. But ephemeral tokens solve this organically. A key card is generated for a specific session and programmed to die the moment the task is complete, or after a strict time limit. The access simply evaporates.
That pairs perfectly with the second pillar, which is granularity.
Granularity, yeah.
We completely eliminate the nightmare of subroles because we aren't trying to build a permanent identity for the agent. The system encodes that temporary token with the exact OAuth scopes required for that single prompt.
Right.
If I ask the AI to draft an email based on a specific spreadsheet, the token only grants read access to that single file and write access to the draft folder. It literally cannot touch anything else.
Which naturally sets up the third pillar. Highly detailed telemetry, or real-time logging.
Okay.
When an agent is operating under a broad master role, tracking its exact behavior is notoriously difficult because all its actions fall under one massive umbrella of approved activity.
Right. It's just a blur of data.
Exactly. But with granular virtual key cards, every single API call, every single database query is distinctly logged against that specific task-bound token.
But, you know, giving someone a hyper-specific key card and logging their actions only solves half the problem.
How so?
Because if an agent still manages to do something anomalous with the access it does have, a log doesn't stop the damage. You just get a pristine record of how you were breached.
And that is exactly where the fourth pillar, automatic lockout, changes the game entirely.
Okay.
The orchestrator isn't just passively logging. It relies on continuous behavioral baselining and semantic analysis of the AI's requests.
Oh, wow.
So if an agent with a key card for analyzing customer feedback suddenly starts executing rapid-fire SQL queries attempting to export the entire table behavior that heavily deviates from the baseline, the system doesn't generate a ticket for a human security analyst to review tomorrow.
It kills the session.
Instantly. The orchestrator detects the semantic anomaly and automatically revokes the token in milliseconds.
That's incredible.
The threat is neutralized autonomously, moving at the exact same speed the AI is moving.
That kind of autonomous defense leads us to the absolute core philosophy of Aspinwall's piece. The golden rule for integrating AI agents safely into any system is this. Agents must inherit, not assume.
Yes, and that distinction is vital. When an autonomous agent acts on your behalf, it should not assume its own separate, highly privileged identity within the system. It must strictly inherit your existing limited privileges.
So to put this in concrete terms for the listener.
Yeah, let's ground it.
Instead of giving my AI assistant an overpowered generic system AI badge, I am essentially generating a temporary, highly restricted clone of my personal credentials.
That is exactly how user delegation works in this context. If you ask your AI to check your sales pipeline, that agent rides on your session token.
Right.
It only queries the data you have clearance to see. It cannot pull the CEO's pipeline data because your base credentials don't allow it.
Got it.
The agent becomes a temporary extension of your identity, constrained by your exact boundaries.
And that prevents IT from having to build and maintain entirely separate, parallel permission hierarchies just for AI tools.
Exactly.
The guardrails are already built. The AI just has to play by the human's rules.
That's the beauty of it.
So what does this all mean for the listener whose company's already running on legacy software? Do they have to rip everything out?
Ah, the legacy question.
Because someone is undoubtedly listening to this thinking, A completely tokenized, dynamically audited, orchestrator-driven environment sounds amazing, but my company is running on legacy databases and 10-year-old internal software.
Right. Do we have to burn our entire tech stack to the ground to implement this?
Yeah.
That anxiety is super common whenever a new architectural paradigm emerges. But Aspinwall provides a highly practical roadmap.
Okay.
He actually runs an AI consulting firm called Working Agents, focused specifically on medium-sized companies.
Oh, Working Agents.
Yeah. And their entire deployment philosophy relies on enhancement rather than replacement. You can weave this virtual keycard model into existing infrastructure without ripping everything out.
Okay, I would love to dig into the actual mechanics of that.
Sure.
How do you bolt modern ephemeral token security onto legacy systems?
Well, Working Agents relies heavily on standardizing the communication layer. One of their primary tools is MCP, or Model Context Protocol.
MCP.
Think of MCP as a highly secure, universal translator. Instead of writing custom, brittle API integrations for every single old database a company uses, MCP provides a standardized architecture for the AI to query those systems.
Okay.
But crucially, MCP mandates that the context of the human user, their specific access permissions, travels with the request.
Oh. So the legacy database doesn't need to understand complex AI behavior. It just receives a standardized MCP request that says, here is the data query,
yeah,
and here is the cryptographically verified token of the user asking for it. If the token is valid, the door opens.
You nailed it.
They also mention A2A protocol integration in the text.
Right. Agent-to-agent protocols.
How does that work?
When multiple AI agents need to collaborate, say, a research agent handing off data to a formatting agent, 808 protocols ensure they negotiate permissions securely.
Oh, I see.
The research agent can't accidentally pass highly classified data to an agent that only has clearance for public-facing documents. The keycard logic applies to system-to-system communication, not just human-to-system.
Wow. And to make this actually usable for employees,
yeah,
Working Agents implements chatbot-style interfaces as the primary gateway.
Yeah, this part is incredibly clever.
It really is. You give the human team a simple conversational chat window to interact with complex internal tools, but that chat interface acts as the enforcer. When an employee types a request, the interface wraps that prompt in the employee's specific tokenized permissions before sending it to the back end.
Exactly. It guarantees the AI won't fetch anything the human isn't cleared to see, while making the user experience completely frictionless.
And because you are layering these new enforcement mechanisms over older infrastructure, rigorous verification is obviously mandatory.
Absolutely. You can't just set it and forget it.
Right. They emphasize aggressive security audits and continuous penetration testing of the agentic loops. You have to actively try to break your own orchestrator to ensure the tokens are expiring when they should, and that prompt injection attacks cannot bypass the assigned scopes.
Yeah, it requires a very active oversight model. You aren't just deploying agents and hoping the logs look clean at the end of the month.
Right.
You are relying on vector-based anomaly detection to monitor those agents in real time. Intervening the millisecond, a keycard behaves erratically.
It's a whole new paradigm. So to bring all of this together, the ultimate lesson from Aspinwall and Pennyworth's piece is this. AI agents are unbelievably powerful tools.
They really are.
They can process vast amounts of unstructured data and manage complex workflows at a scale that human operators simply cannot compete with. That capability is the entire reason we are racing to adopt them.
Of course.
But as the text explicitly warns, power without control isn't a feature. It's a massive liability.
A huge liability.
If we want to unlock the potential of autonomous agents without exposing our most sensitive data to catastrophic breaches, we have to stop handing out master keys to the whole building. We need highly granular, auto-expiring virtual key cards.
Well said. And, you know, if we connect this to the bigger picture, this raises an important question for the future of enterprise security.
Okay, what's that?
Let's assume a company implements this perfectly. Their AI agents strictly inherit user permissions, they operate on ephemeral key cards, and they only access mundane, strictly allowed data.
Like meeting room schedules, supply chain orders, public executive calendar.
Exactly. Safe data.
Yeah.
But AI models are fundamentally designed to find hidden correlations.
Right.
So what happens when an agent, operating entirely within its approved boundaries, combines those mundane data points to deduce a highly sensitive, confidential insight?
Oh, wow.
For example, deducing that a massive, unannounced acquisition is happening simply by cross-referencing spikes in catering orders with the specific executives occupying a certain conference room.
That is wild, but totally possible.
Right. Does the virtual keycard system stop at restricting data access? Or will we eventually need an architecture capable of policing the intelligence and deductions themselves?
Wow. That is a truly fascinating dilemma.
Yeah.
The digital lock successfully keeps the AI out of the classified vault, but it can't stop the model from simply doing the math while sitting in the lobby.
Well, for you listening, I hope that gives you something compelling to mull over as you evaluate the AI integrations in your own networks. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the architecture of tomorrow's security. Keep questioning those assumptions, keep exploring, and we will catch you next time.